Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 129, part 1. Is this thing from God? Today is Friday, January 15th, 2010. I missed you last week. There is hope in Jesus. There is Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you need food in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within the message that are posted there, so you'll be able to link to those scripture links. Be sure to join us for both episodes, part one on Friday and the conclusion, part two on Sunday. We're going to start the month out with Victorious Faith, Is This Thing From God?, Rule and Reward of Serving Jesus, Comfort and Consistency, Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances. Again, have a great month. We'll see you back here for each episode. Have a great year in 2010. God bless you.
Is this thing from God? Let us now then enter into 1 Kings 12 and 24 today. Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. Today we'll enter into what's God's will. We'll enter into why me, God. We'll enter into unanswerable, stupid questions that we ask God all of the time. We'll enter into areas of marriage and divorce and separation. Though how I love to read a history that where God is made prominent. I think we so sadly lack this in our own histories. And yet, if we look very closely, we'll see God's hand in many incidences in our own history. The great migration of people from all over the world. I think of my dad coming from Greece, meeting my mother that migrated from another part of the world and coming together, and here I am as a fact of that. And so you start to see God's hands in all things. We look at our own country with all the different nationalities, the Laotians that are coming over now on account of the trouble over there. The Jews and the Greeks and the Assyrians and the Swedes and the Norwegians. Whew. A melting pot of the world. Oh. Wow. We look at our leadership and our genius and our industrial age. And yes, we can see God's hand in it all. The old master painter from the faraway hills painted the flowers and the daffodils, the song goes. And he painted you and me. And he painted this church. He brought us into this church, and he painted the interior of this church. The old master painter. Let me add, God is everywhere, and he has a hand in all things. Now, a lot of people disagree with that. This thing is from me. Now, this thing is from me would surprise all those who claim to know God's will perfectly. I don't. God is God. Now let's settle that right now. God is God, and stop acting out our parts of our own productions. Oh, so many times we have our own productions. We have our own spirituality. So much of that going on now. And I believe blessed is the man that learns to spy him out, to see God in all things. Well, you mean God was in that and God was... God is in all things. You cannot go to hell and God is there. You can go to heaven, you can go to hell, you can go wherever. God is there. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. It says, seek me and you will find me. Whew. But in reading 1 Kings... all of the king's chapter, I should say, chapter 12, I became very aware of the power possessed by God's prophets under the Old Testament. Here's Shemaiah. Some of you have never heard of him before, but perhaps you will never hear of him again. He appears only once in history, and then he goes. But just think of this. He held back 180,000 battle-trained, battle-ready, chosen men, warriors ready to fight against the house of Israel. And how? By giving them in very plain, unpolished words the simple command of God. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not go up nor fight against your brethren. The children of Israel return every man to his house. And then it is added, and they hearkened therefore to the word and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. And why did he do that? Because their hearts were already prepared. See, a lot of times we can hype ourselves up to a movement. And when the word comes not to do it, it comes as a relief because God has already spoken to us. We're finding that right now. A lot of the things that we've heard out there and a lot of things that you're going to read in the end times, don't pick up on it so much. You want to know why? Because it might not be the same situation your body is in, where your family is in, and you'll pick up on someone else's spirit that is not the spirit of the Lord, and you'll say, thus saith the Lord, then it'll not be of the Lord. And when you hear that it isn't, there'll be a great relief. And you're going to hear a lot of that. Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house. And they hearkened therefore to the word and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. And why don't we have such power? Because we do not always speak in the name of the Lord or speak God's word as God's word. Some 6 weeks ago, I received this message. The outline of this message and the first 3 or 4 pages of this message. We don't, because we've already precluded what things are from God and what things are not. We know what's of God and what it isn't. Well, I don't know about that. We're so sure this is of God and that, oh, this is not of God, and we have little piles. Of God, not of God. Oh, of course not of God. And back and forth. And we preclude what's of God and what isn't of God. We even do that with people. This man is not of God. This person is not of God. This work is not of God. This is of God. Yes, yes, because it looks good. What about if it's a covered over dunghill? What about that? What about if it's a shellacked, covered up dunghill like I spoke about in marriages? Two people living together. Glossed over dunghills, and they go on for years with just that little bit of stink in there, and then the sticks start coming and poking back and forth, and we raise a stink. But we've already precluded what things are from God and what things are not from God. And if we are simply tellers of our own thoughts, why should men mind us? If we speak the word here which we ourselves have fashioned, who should respect it? Sometimes we get so spiritual and so dainty and so flotocious, and we just float around with all of these religious sayings, and our lips are all pursed up, and oh, we're so honey pie and all that. And all it is, have you ever seen a dunghill walking? Well, I have. Have you ever seen a dunghill talking? Well, I have. It takes one to know one. And so if we speak the word which we ourselves have fashioned, who should respect it? I think we should come close to God. We must listen to the Lord. We must stop telling God how to act. We must believe the power of the gospel. Sometimes we go out and preach the gospel, and we do it out of I have to do it. I'm going out to preach the gospel. And we grab this shield, and we get the armor, and we put the boots on. Oh, no, not again. Ooh, I'm suffering for God. I'll do it. If it kills me, don't worry, you're already dead. How many are hearing this? And we're doing God a great big favor. And when we do it in that light and in that tone, we become bitter and hard and judgmental and critical. Know it all. Have you ever seen a dunghill walking? Well, I have. Have you ever seen a dunghill talking? Well, I have. That's a dunghill. You can't spice it up. It's a self-made, self-resurrected, dead body going out to preach the gospel. And what a stink it raises. Now, I believe we must believe the Holy Ghost will go with the gospel to bring you the full peace and the full joy and the full power, hallelujah, to work out His divine purpose. Glory, either it's fun being saved or it ain't. My God, I love being saved, and it's fun being saved. But there's always one or two dunghills that want to ruin it. Want to come and cause a stink. Either it's a polite, pursy stink, or it's a come on hard stink. Are you hearing it, dunghills? Talking to the radio audience now. Surely the word is more powerful than any two-edged sword. And surely the word is just as powerful in the New Testament as it was in the Old Testament. I believe the difference is that we many times don't talk to God. We need someone else's thoughts. And then after we read their thoughts, we say, aha! That's it!
Give me the sword! Yeah!
We haven't even talked to God. Or read a piece of scripture out of context. We'll open our Bible. Woo! Huh? We'll go on with that. And it's the letter, and it is not the word brought to life. It is not the... it's got the spirit in it. It's the letter, and the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And the spirit is the spirit of the Lord. And the spirit of the Lord brings peace. Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is peace, and there is power, and there is freedom. Well, what does that mean? That means there's freedom to go in and out. What happens when you have a freedom to go in and out? Oh, you'll stay in, because when you get out there three or four times, you find out it ain't like it used to be out there. Whew. But you have to be given that freedom, you listening on the radio. You that have been saved 17,000 times. You can only be saved once. We have so many formulas. We don't have to see. We don't have to seek the Lord, you see. We try opening up the Red Sea. We try recreating things. We try calling down fire. We try, let me down in the lion's den and test my faith, God. Don't tempt God. You might get thrown in there and get clawed up all to pieces. Woo! Woo! Running around that old den down there. Woo! 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 Help! 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 Huh? That's all past history. It all comes because a lot of times we like to have claims to fame. We leave no room for the sovereignty of God. Our pride dictates to God what His will is. And it's all so basic, and it's all so simple, and I think it has to be dealt with in our very own homes. Before we can even go out, some years back, I told Jan, I said, we're not going to have any pet here. The Lord spoke to me not to have no pet. See, because we got things to do in our own family. You remember that? And so we didn't have any pets until sometime later. None, no pets whatsoever. We had things to do. The Lord says, take care of your own house, then go to the neighbor, then go around the block, then go to the neighborhood, then go to Brooklyn Park, then go to Minneapolis, then go out into the world, but take care of your own house first. Well, maybe you're living by yourself. Well, you're living in a house. Well, you can just sit there and not like the music and not like the preaching and not like this and not like that. And you know what it is? You are a dunghill. It's the truth, isn't it? And radio audience, the truth is, a lot of times you will just sit there in your own private little dunghill. The world has the answer. Isn't he a cute little dunghill? They know. The Lord says, in the end times, I will raise up the low, base, perverted things of the what? The world. The world. To confound the wise. The world is going to be raised up. Well, he did the same thing with the Jews. He went to the Gentiles and he caused a jealousy. And he's doing the same thing now. Hallelujah. He's doing the very same thing now. He's raising up the world, because the wise in the church that lean upon their own understanding. Many times we are but dunghills. I had a message some years back that was called, "Your thinking is stinking." How true that was. I just get kind of queasy when someone comes up. You know, I've been thinking lately. I go, oh, boy, well, you're in trouble. Turn them off. Turn that brain off. Woo! Woo! Our pride always dictates what God will do and what His will is. And we get prideful and say, oh, what do you think about the Lord? That's why it is so dangerous to puff up a novice. Don't do that. God warns you against it. You start pumping up a novice. I mean, you know, some of you haven't been through it. And you got this great, huge novice running around, floating around, bumping into things. Boing, boing, boing. And you know, somebody puffed me up when I was a novice. You know what? I was dangerous. I almost killed myself. I was only 2 weeks in the Lord. And they said, the Lord has given you more wisdom in 2 weeks than some people have in years. Well, really, the only wisdom I had was I knew I was saved and I was happy about it. But I, praise the Lord, someone came along with a pin. All that hot air was expelled. Now I was laying there, a wrinkled up little old balloon. The pinhole blown apart. Oh God, I thought you said I was great and mighty and powerful. Look, there's a great big hole in my side. They're all looking at my spit. Now, maybe you don't think this is a God. I don't care. I know it is. You listening on the radio, maybe that's what you think. Many times we don't even ask God what His will is. We are so sure of what He will do. Oh yes, that's the same. He always answers the same, never mind. Don't bother Him now. We just go ahead with what we think and we know is the will of God. We know it. I can in all honesty tell you this, that I have never known exactly what the will of God is in every situation. I mean, pea brain, how would I know? We become so puffed up in our self-knowledge that we are taught out. We have been to every teaching and every fashion teaching of the Word that there is. We have imagined things in our own imagination. And it all comes down most times to a great big pile of manure. Are you smelling it? Yeah, you smell it on the radio out there. Oh, it's the truth. You've heard everything. You've been to Israel 14 times. You've heard 14,000 teachings. And you've been to marriage counselors and how to be a good wife, how to be a good husband, how to make yourself attractive. Oh, spiritual, this and that and whatever. And I mean, you've read so many books, I'm telling you. You're going to need glasses. Don't you hear this? And we do things in the name of Jesus and never consult with Him. Never. I mean, a right action with a wrong spirit will result in misuse and failure every time. A right action. Well, this seems like a good thing to do. I'll wash their dishes. So you take the dishes and then it's a right action, but you throw them at the dishwashing machine. Woo! See how good I am? I'm going to wash their dishes. And you break everything. It's a wrong spirit, isn't it? It's the right action, but it's the wrong spirit. It's like collecting money. Here, and tip this guy upside down. It's the wrong spirit. Should I have two guys shaking him? No. And see, if you don't have a little bit of humor in some of these messages, people just naturally die because they, it's uncomfortable. Well, try preaching. You don't even know uncomfortable. Yeah, it's a right action with a wrong spirit. And even if it's glossed over with or even if it's,
are you saved?
Huh? People pick up on it. The world picks up on it right away. Get out!
Oh, I'm being persecuted for Christ's sake.
Huh? Not at all. God was in it. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Maybe that's too plain. Maybe that's too simple. I don't know. Maybe we should have a 18-week course on what is the will of God, when God is going to have his will anyway. Why? How can you teach on what is the will of God? But another thing I learned from this incident in the Bible was, better to preach one sermon and to be as successful as Shemaiah than to preach 10,000 and accomplish zilch. And I'm afraid there's a whole lot of preaching about nothing nowadays. For they preach not the gospel according to God, but the gospel according to popular opinion. The gospel of listen and sit. The gospel of always learning, never doing. And they have made the gospel a how-to manual or a I have it down type message. And they have learned it so well, they have left the spirit out of it. Did you know you can learn things so well that you leave the spirit out? You can know your mate so well that you leave the spirit out of even knowing them, because, see, the mate changes all the time. Oh, I know him. I know her. Did you know that? Did you know it can become old hat? Did you? Do you think you know everything about your boss? Of course not. Do you think you know everything about your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife or your dad or your mom? Of course not. There's no way that you can. How then do you think you can just go ahead and minister, radio audience? Are you hearing this? Knowing the will of God completely in everybody else's life, and you don't even know it in your own. Not to know it on your own. But oh, to know nothing but Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected in the power of the blood. And then each time that we minister to say, oh, Holy Spirit, lead me, I know nothing. Start out each message knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and the blood. Seeing Jesus only, and stop building, let's say, here in this radio audience, stop building those tabernacles to house your own knowledge. Jesus said in the end, behold, I will do a new thing. I don't think Christians have really come to the full knowledge of the love of God yet. I know I haven't, and we can't fully know that. But I know when people are persuaded, they'll say, behold how they love one another. Last week we had 300 blankets that I got from the county, and the county called up and they said, you know what? Thousands are being taken off of the general assistance. One of the county workers said, thousands and thousands of them, and they're going to open up the McGill building. We're going to need 250 of those blankets. Can we have them? We'll leave you 50. We need hundreds more, but we'll leave you 50. I said, all right, go ahead. I don't care where they go. A little while later, the people from People Serving People called up. And they said, you know what? We understand that you have some blankets. I said, well, I had 300. I'm down to 250. What do you need? He said, 50. I said, all right. Why don't you take them? He says, the people are cold when they have to leave here. They have to wrap themselves up in blankets. And so we lose our blankets. I got on the hobo bus here the other night. There was a large Indian fellow on there, and he said, I'm 205 pounds. I said, yes, I used to look like that. Just having some fun with him. Well, you're too skinny now, he says. I said, well, when you get old like me, you have to get legs. You have to move. I can run. You could never catch me. And through the course of the conversation, I knew the will of God was in it. Just by this nonsense, a lot of times people would call it. Should I have walked up and said, do you know God? No. That man went outside, tears in his eyes. I met him outside of the bus, and the peace of the Lord was on him. He got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and the whole bus was the peace of God was all over the whole bus. Jesus said, behold, in the end time, I'm going to do a brand new thing. You might not gather 180,000 men. You might not hold them back either. Yet one converted person by the Holy Ghost, through you, may bring thousands to know Jesus Christ. It says in the Word that before I slept within one single acorn. Think about it. Despise not, the Bible says, small beginnings. So first I want to prove to you from this text that some events are very specially from God. And secondly, when they are seen to be from God, they are not to be fought against. And thirdly, this general principle has many special applications. And first then, some events are specially from God. This thing, the Word says, is from me. And I don't really know what some people believe because they try to do without God altogether, but I believe God is in all things. That there is neither power, nor life, nor motion, nor thought, nor existence apart from Him. In Him, the Bible says, we live and move and have our being. In Him, we live and move and have our being. In Him, all things exist and consist. Unless God upholds these things, they can't even exist. Evil cannot exist. Good cannot exist. Like soap bubbles, all things would dissolve away if God didn't continue them. If He didn't uphold them. I see God in all things, from the cockroach to the rosebud. He's in the earthquake, and He's in the whirlwind. He's in the stirring of the mulberry trees. And oh my God, that's what's happening right now. There is a stirring in the mulberry trees. A stirring. We had a call in from a large Minnesota-based organization that was really upset with an ad that went in the paper. What they had to say was, we're trying to show that people are hungry out there. And here you're coming on with all this food and everything. Well, you want a few of these folks to starve to get to prove your point? Well, see, that's all right. The world, that makes sense to them. But right now, down in these downstairs down here, we've got 21,000 pounds of turkey. Thousands and thousands of pounds of potatoes and onions. Carrots are coming, and malta meal, and huge, great, big grocery bags are being prepared. Oh, and you know who's going to get all the glory? Jesus Christ. Say amen, somebody. It's great. Remember that message I had when I went over with all them big shots and millionaires over there? And I felt like a little beetle in a suit. Remember that one? I'm standing there with my little antenna sticking out and my little claw-like hands. I was feeling real awkward running around there with my little shell on. But boy, I don't know what to say. And I thought, well, now if I say something, I'm upset here, and I don't know if it's going to come out right or not. But God graced it, and it all came out okay. It all came out okay. And I looked around after I got that peace in my heart, and I thought, there was this great big fat beetle over there, and a skinny beetle, and a short. They were all beetles, just like me. How many hearing this message today? But he's in the earthquake, and he's in the wind, and he's in the rain, and he's in the storm, and he's in the mulberry trees, and he's in that small, still voice. No, blessed is the man to whom there exists nothing in which he can't see the presence of the Lord. How grand it makes the world when God is seen everywhere. When you see God in the total wiped out drunk, God is in this thing. When you see God in the mutt that stands in the middle of the road. A couple nights ago, I think it was Janine, said that in Carolyn, you were going home and the two great big old dogs stood right there looking right at him until they just bumped into him. What does that mean? I don't know. They were just standing there. They were dumb dogs. I don't know what it was, but God was there. God is here. God is in me. God is in you. God is everywhere. Doesn't that make the world seem a whole lot better? In the deepest minds or to the very remotest of stars, the world is a very wretched place, my friend, dark and dank as a dungeon. If I believe once the light of the presence and the working of God be taken away from it, and we start to believe in what we're doing in ourselves. No, God is in everything. But notice also, dear friends, that God is in events which are produced by the sin and stupidity of men. Oh! I don't believe it! Believe it. The breaking up of the kingdom of Solomon into two parts was a result of Solomon's sin, Rehoboam's folly. And yet God, the Bible says, told them like this, "This thing is from me, saith the Lord." God had nothing to do with the sin and folly, but in some way which we can never explain, in some very mysterious way which we are to believe without hesitation, God was in it all. And can't you see that in your own lives? Well, then just look at the life and the death of Jesus Christ. Wasn't that the greatest of all human crimes? Yet wasn't it foreordained and predestinated of the Most High? Can he be called a criminal? Was it not prophesied so? Was it not foreordained? Was it not predestinated? And God was in it?
Well, how can this be? I hear somebody on the radio saying, this thing cannot be, this
person on the radio.
This can't be. I don't believe it.
Well, listen, radio audience, also, it does not interfere with the human agency. It's and its utmost freedom. No, it doesn't. And some would say, see, man is a free agent. He can just do whatever he wants to and do if it feels good, do it. And you can say there is no such thing as predestination. Others say it's all predestination and man has no responsibility. And then I hear someone off the radio say, well, okay then, how do we reconcile them? Stop right there. Don't try and reconcile them. Because your thinking lacks. Your understanding lacks. Don't try to reconcile them. But how do we make them look like true friends? I do not try to make them seem to be true friends. Praise God, there are things in this Bible which I never expect to understand while I live here. How would you like to have a faith that you perfectly understood? Where would be faith? Could there be such a thing? If you perfectly understood faith, well, wouldn't you then make yourself God? See, when even if I could, if I mastered it, it would never master me. You do want to be mastered, don't you? The master says, go by faith, not by sight. How many here want to be mastered? Oh, I need a master. And I think yet the very great and the most delightful thing for the believer is to bow down to the very inscrutable mysteries and to say, my God, I never thought I was infinite. I never thought I could be like God and know all things. Why not bow down to that? My God, I never thought I could be loved beyond my own thinking. And just bow down to it by faith.
So if you're till a tear.